And welcome to today's Fulbright webinar. We will wait another minute or so as people log in, and then we'll get started. Thank you. The 2022-2023 Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program Competition. My name is Michelle Balorchi, and I'm an Outreach and Recruitment Specialist. And I'm joined by my colleagues Aphrodita Krishniki and Kimberly Williams, who are also on the Outreach and Recruitment team. We are all with the Institute of International Education, and over the next hour, we'll be sharing information about the new awards competition for the 22-23 academic year for Fulbright U.S. Scholar. So we will begin, and if you have questions, please type them in the chat box or the question box, and we will be sure to get to them either throughout the presentation or at the end. There will be questions answered at the end as well. So let's begin. Today's webinar, as I said, is the kickoff webinar for the new awards competition we launched this week. So we'll be providing a brief overview of the program today, as well as covering kind of a trip around the world as to what's new in the competition. So that's new awards, highlights that we'd like to share with you, and program updates. We'll also be taking a guided tour of the website that has recently been kind of revamped and refreshed. And we'll also be looking at the new catalog of awards. That's where all of the award opportunities are featured. And we'll certainly have some time for questions at the end. So thank you for joining us today. This webinar is recorded, and it will be archived on our website. So the first thing that I'd like to point out is that every competition is new. And this year, we're very excited to be celebrating 75 years of the Fulbright Scholar Program, the Fulbright Program in general. As you may be aware, there are opportunities not only for academics, faculty, and independent researchers, but as well for students, teachers, and administrators. So we're happy to be celebrating 75 years of impact, and we encourage you to visit our website, fulbright75.org, to learn more about ways you can get involved and to celebrate with us. As I said, every competition is new in terms of what we offer through the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program. So we work with our partners around the world to offer the awards catalog. Some of the vast majority of the awards are renewed. They're refreshed with new information, but essentially the bulk of the awards that we offer are offered annually. But every year we have a smattering of awards that are new, and some awards are not renewed due to partnerships and different collaborations. So we'll be going over those new opportunities as well. Again, keep in mind the awards catalog that you see on our website is a huge collaboration. It's a huge effort that we have with over 130 countries, the U.S. embassies, and the Fulbright commissions around the world. So the award changes or updates may reflect particular priorities of the program, particular interests they're seeking, expanded opportunities, and things like that. But at the end of the day, the heart of the Fulbright Scholar Program is to connect people. It's our people-to-people diplomacy through academic exchange and cultural immersion.
I'd like to give a brief overview of our mission and history. Established in 1946 by Congress, Fulbright is a cultural exchange program sponsored by the U.S. Department of State, and in partnership with 160 countries worldwide, Fulbright offers passionate and accomplished faculty, administrators, and professionals from all backgrounds opportunities to study, teach, and/or conduct research. Our mission to foster mutual understanding between nations, advance knowledge across communities, and improve lives around the world really is the heart of Fulbright. Diversity and inclusion are at the forefront of our mission. Fulbright strives to really ensure that it reflects the diversity of U.S. society and societies abroad. We are actively recruiting applicants from a variety of institutions to include minority-serving, community colleges, and rural institutions. Opportunities are open to people regardless of their race, color, national origin, sex, age, religion, geographic location, socioeconomic status, disability, sexual orientation, or gender identity.
So many of you may be wondering why Fulbright. Fulbright wants you to come back transformed. It is a really unique opportunity in so many ways. It allows you to foster relationships that are real and lasting. So these relationships often lead to collaborative research, and it expands your publishing network. Also, you become more multicultural in the classroom. This benefits not only them, but also their students, so your students as well. Fulbrighters can serve as ambassadors, cultural ambassadors abroad, and this experience allows many alumni to encourage their fellow faculty members and students to apply for Fulbright program. So you become a voice of the Fulbright. You will gain the professional recognition as being identified as a Fulbright scholar. And this recognition continues throughout your career. You have opportunity to join the Fulbright events and serve as a peer reviewer. Also, you join this vibrant alumni network, and it is also a very family-friendly program because, as you can see, approximately 60% of our awards provide dependent support. So not every country will provide this, but the majority of these awards do. And many of the Fulbright dependents that accompany Fulbrighters in these trips go on to have international careers. Fulbright is also very supportive, so alumni share their experiences. Then during the application process and also after, if you're selected, you get support in the country. So it's a great opportunity.
Fulbright by the numbers. As you can see, Fulbright is very accessible. The program funds over 8,000 awards annually, which includes 800 awards to U.S. scholars and administrators. If selected for the program, you become a part of a vast alumni network of approximately 400,000.
Great, and now we can talk about the eligibility of the becoming a Fulbright U.S. scholar. First of all, these are the overall eligibility requirements. The most essential one to keep in mind is that the program is only open to U.S. citizens. Green card holders are not eligible to apply. For the degree and experience as required by the award, so you can see, like, we do offer so many diverse opportunities, and you want to look for what type of the degree requirement is stated under each award description. So we do have opportunities for PhD or terminal degree holders, for MA and higher education teaching or professional experience, and professional and artistic experience with substantial accomplishments. Sometimes they specify the teaching experience as well in these awards, especially if you're applying for a teaching award. And you want to look for also the, we do allow Fulbrighters who have finished their previous Fulbright 2 years ago, they're still eligible to apply for another Fulbright.
Great. Thank you, Aphrodita. So moving on to the highlights that we wanted to share with you about the competition this year. So the deadline is September 15, 2021, so you've got plenty of time to gather information about the awards you're interested, narrow it down, and seek out letters of invitation if they're required. So definitely over the next 7 months, we are here to assist you with that. There will be several webinars that we host, and Webinar Wednesdays are kind of our signature, so keep on the lookout for Wednesdays when we host our webinars. So the first thing I'd like to share is that last year we started the requirement of two letters of recommendation. So previously, we had a requirement of three letters of recommendation. We now only require two to be part of your application, and that is all. Those two are also due at the time of the deadline, September 15. A new update is that the majority of awards do not require a letter of invitation from a host abroad. So we understand that sometimes it's difficult to establish a connection or receive responses, or there might not be enough time if you're applying kind of later in the competition when you learn about an opportunity. So the vast majority of awards can be applied to without an invitation letter. So that will be made clear in the award description. So you'll either see it be optional or preferred, and some letters are should not be sought. So some affiliations should not be contacted if they're stated in the award description. So that's a new kind of update. We also have streamlined the types of awards. So we have four distinct award types. That includes the IEA, or the International Education Administrator Awards. Those are the two-week kind of exchange, immersion for the administrators to learn more about higher education opportunities and the higher education landscape in a different country. The vast majority fall under the Scholar Awards. Those are the teaching and the research professional projects. We have several postdoctoral awards for candidates who have recently completed their terminal degree, their doctoral degree. And then we do have a large number of what we call Distinguished Scholar Awards for those that fit the eligibility for that. So you'll notice in the award descriptions further definitions as to what that all entails. We have also added the professional project option. That was new last year, and many awards have added it this year. So if what you're looking to do doesn't fall into kind of a typical research project, or you're not an academic, you're a professional, and you'd like to go to a country and pursue a project that relates to what you're doing in your career, look out for the professional project option. It would be a great way for you to be a part of the Fulbright program, even if you feel it might not be right for you. We're trying to expand the options because Fulbright is for everybody who's eligible. So certainly the professional project option is one way to engage and do research that's not traditional kind of academic research where you're based at a college or university. We also have the Fulbright Public Policy Fellowship. So this has been around for a couple of years in the Scholar Program, but I always like to highlight it because it is a unique opportunity for early career professionals that are pursuing public policy, public health, public administration, affiliated fields. And we have that opportunity in four particular countries, in Burma, Cote d'Ivoire, Peru, and Ukraine. So Kimberly is the contact person for the Public Policy Fellowship, and she will be hosting a series of webinars throughout the competition. And if you have any questions, please do look at the award description. Each country has a different emphasis of what they're looking for, but the interesting thing is that the fellow is placed in a government ministry in these countries. So it's a unique opportunity. It's a wonderful experience for those of you that have at least about 3 to 5 years of experience in a public policy field. Oops, sorry. The last bullet point on this slide is the office hours that we will be offering, as well as I mentioned, the weekly webinars. So the office hours will start in March. We will offer them weekly throughout the competition. So this is a way for you to speak directly to the program officer responsible for that region. So my name is Michelle, and I recruit for the awards for the Western Hemisphere as well as South and Central Asia. You'll hear from Aphrodita later about the awards to Europe and Eurasia. And then Kim recruits for Sub-Saharan Africa and parts of Europe as well as public policy. So the point person will be able to speak to you directly in these office hours. And the links for joining an office hour are found directly in the award description. So stay tuned. We will have a variety of webinars throughout the competition focused on disciplines, focused on regions, and focused on kind of career level, postdocs, Distinguished Scholar, etc.
Great. Thank you, Michelle, for the program highlights. Those are very important. And I am happy to take you to a virtual trip around the world, and just so that you can have like a better understanding of the program, the Fulbright US Scholar Program, and because it is a great opportunity. It offers over 400 in teaching and research awards, which amount to 800 grants to U.S. citizens in more than 130 countries in all these world regions listed here. So we do offer these great opportunities to college and university faculty and administrators, as well as professionals, just like Michelle pointed out, the professional projects. We do have great opportunities for artists, for architects, for other disciplines in journalism, in science, for lawyers, and many others. So just so you know, you can understand that this is basically each region. Now we're going to dive deeper into each region to show you what each region offers. But basically, if you become a Fulbrighter, you can join more than this network of 400,000 Fulbrighters that have participated in the program to date. And it gives you this opportunity to enhance skills, to create new connections, and also promote a greater mutual understanding. So thank you, Michelle.
Thank you, Aphrodita. So I'd like to start by highlighting East Asia and the Pacific, where there are currently 26 awards. Australia has a scholar award funded by the Regional Universities Network of Australia, and this is a research-only award that's open to mid-career and senior applicants and will support research projects undertaken at any of the network's 7 member institutions. In addition, Australia offers several future scholarship awards which support cutting-edge collaborative ideas. Also, we have Burma, Cambodia, Indonesia, Malaysia, Mongolia, Thailand, and Vietnam. They're offering all discipline awards that vary in grant length and are open to applicants from various career levels. Next, we have Korea. Korea is offering the Peace Studies Award, and grantees are expected to teach undergrad and or grad courses, advise or mentor students, and assist with curriculum design and program development. And finally, we have the Philippines. They are offering the U.S.-Philippine Relations Award, which allows grantees the opportunity to conduct research or the combination of teaching and research, and a PhD is not required for this award.
Thank you, Kim. And now I would like to show you also the opportunities we offer in Europe and Eurasia, which is also the largest region in terms of offerings in the Fulbright US Scholar Program, because this region offers over 200 awards with so many diverse opportunities ranging from postdoc, early career, mid-career, to up to senior level of scholars, distinguished scholars, as well as opportunities for professionals and for artists. So there are these great awards, great opportunities, but just here I wanted to highlight some of the new opportunities that these countries are offering every year. Like Michelle mentioned, the program offers new awards and new opportunities, but just specifically in Europe and Eurasia, for example, Albania, which also innovates their opportunities every year, they do offer something new. This year, they're offering one award in judicial training. This is a great opportunity to have a great impact for future judges. And then the other one is improving media and information literacy, as in Albania, media is very powerful, and this is offered to professionals as well as academics. And then Austria, which is also considered one of the largest countries that offer great and diverse opportunities, and specifically they offer these partnership opportunities with partner host institutions in Austria. I just wanted to highlight this opportunity in Fulbright Diplomatic Academy, visiting professor of international studies. So This is great if you are interested, and if you do work in diplomacy. They offer a teaching and research combination. They just a great opportunity if you work in economics, in American history, international relations, etc. So they do, the program is hosted by the Vienna School of International Studies. So in Bulgaria, which they do offer the old discipline award, they do offer the opportunity for professionals. You can do also teaching or a combination of teaching and research. So they're welcoming artists as well, and in all level of the career. So scholars can be in all level from early career up to senior academics. And it's a great opportunity also in Bulgaria, in Iceland, which offers this great opportunity to do this with the National Science Foundation, a Distinguished Scholar Award in Cybersecurity and Critical Infrastructure. So in Poland as well, we do have this new award at the Faculty of Architecture. So you want to look this up. And then the Schumann Awards, which are really unique opportunities. We do offer four awards, and specifically, this is a great opportunity if you want to do a project in one or two countries that are members of the European Union. So we do offer one award in innovation. The other one is if your work is focused on EU affairs, and then a postdoc opportunity, as well as a Distinguished Scholar Award at the European University Institute in Florence, Italy. And then Turkey, they just added these new opportunities for postdoc, and then another one for more senior level of scholars for Distinguished Scholar Award. And lastly, I just wanted to highlight the UK, which is also the largest, offers the biggest number of awards, and it's a large country in the Fulbright US Scholar Program. They just confirmed a new partnership with the University of Leeds Distinguished Scholar Award. Great, and moving on to Middle East and North Africa. We do have the opportunity in Bahrain. And before I do that, I just wanted to point out that Middle East and North Africa offers 32 awards in this region. And just we wanted to highlight some of these opportunities, like in Bahrain, the Education Administration and Teacher Education opportunities. And then Israel also has diverse opportunities like the Distinguished Scholar and also the postdoc opportunities. Whereas in the discipline of teaching English as a foreign language or the applied linguistics, we do offer this opportunity in Algeria, Jordan, and Palestinian territories, so in the West Bank. And lastly, Qatar, there is this great opportunity if you work in water, energy, and the environment. And this is a specific opportunity to conduct this work at a specific university in Qatar.
Great. Thank you, Aphrodita. So moving on to South and Central Asia, which is my region that I look after, I wanted to share that we have a new award for India. It's the Fulbright Kellam Climate Fellowship. So they are technically open to all disciplines, but certainly proposals that relate to climate, whether you're from the humanities, social sciences, or from the natural sciences, we encourage you to take a look at that opportunity. This is a wonderful way to engage with colleagues in India and tackle a project related to climate. The other award to India, we have actually a total of three, but the other one that I wanted to highlight, because it is unique, is the All Disciplines Award. What makes this unique in the catalog is the sheer number of grants available. It is the largest offering in the entire Fulbright catalog, with 40 scholars selected annually. That's in addition to the Distinguished Scholar Award that also has two spots. So a total of more than, I would say it's 46 45 scholars travel to India annually to take up the either the Climate Award, the All Disciplines, or the Fulbright Nehru Distinguished Scholar Award to India. Moving on to the Maldives, the Republic of Maldives is offering two teaching grants to be based at the Maldivian National University. That's the flagship university in that small country right off the coast of India, but a beautiful location nevertheless, and I encourage you to have a look. There are a list of preferred disciplines, so that award is only open to those disciplines listed in the award description. Moving on to Sri Lanka, also off the coast of India, another beautiful destination. There are three grants that are open to all disciplines, so there are some preferred specializations listed, but I do want to point out, if you're looking at an award that has that is open to all disciplines but lists preferences for specializations and you don't find your specialization listed, don't be discouraged. That is simply the country listing their priorities or, you know, their wish list, if you will. They may or may not get applicants in those fields. So if you have a project that is suitable for the country that you're hoping to conduct research or teach in, I encourage you to move forward with that, but also attend a webinar or reach out to our team to ensure that you're on the right track for selecting the best award. It's important to note that you can only apply to one Fulbright award per competition per year. So that means you really do need to do a little homework and some research on the catalogs to see where you would be the best fit. The next unique opportunity that we have in this region, and again, there are 16 awards in 11 countries in South and Central Asia, but this one is relatively new. It is the Teaching English as a Foreign Language, the TEFL Award, and the option is that you could be placed in any one of these five Central Asian countries, but they do allow, they encourage the applicant to rank their preference. So you might prefer Uzbekistan and then Tajikistan, so you can rank those accordingly, but they will certainly try and place you in that particular country, but they also will capitalize on your particular field of experience within TEFL and try and align you with a destination, a location where you would have the most impact. But certainly this is a great opportunity. There's a few awards available for the Central Asia TEFL Award. The other thing I would like to highlight, and this is true, I believe, for every region, but certainly for South and Central Asia, is the regional travel program. So once you have your award and you're in the country, you can apply for a travel grant. So this funding would allow you to travel to another country within the region to attend a conference, a workshop, give a lecture, a seminar, something of that nature, not to conduct research, but to do something that can be conducted in 6 to 14 days. So this regional travel program is available in the South and Central Asia region, as well as several other regions. So take a look for that. That's a kind of in-country bonus that you can be eligible for.
Thank you, Michelle. Sub-Saharan Africa is currently offering 29 awards, and there's a significant focus on teaching and capacity building, hence the longer award durations, in some cases of 10 months. So something new with the region is that terminal degrees are no longer required for several awards. So I want to start with Botswana. Botswana is offering new awards in cybersecurity and digital forensics and computing, mobile technologies, and multimedia. Uganda is encouraging artists and professionals to apply to the All Disciplines Award, and something else that's new this year is that applicants may propose appropriate host institutions. Mulungushi University is now a host institution for Zambia's Multidisciplines Award, and Zimbabwe is offering new awards in public health, computer science, and public policy and governance. And finally, the Africa Regional Research Award allows grantees to research in up to three countries, with the exception of South Africa.
All right, thanks, Kim. The other region that I recruit for is the Western Hemisphere, so I wanted to share some updates about that and also address one of the questions we got in the chat. The first is the new awards to Brazil. So Brazil this year has completely changed their offerings. It's very exciting. So we have new awards across the board in STEM fields. We have a public policy award that's continued, but it's a different affiliation. And then we have a new award in democracy studies. So with Brazil, language is not required. Portuguese language is not required if you're able to conduct the project without Portuguese. So you might have colleagues that speak English. That's fine. You just need to state that in the project proposal. Canada offers about 50 grants across a variety of disciplines and a variety of awards. So please do take a look at the awards to Canada. They are very comprehensive. And the unique thing about Canada is that you don't have to worry about placements. The Fulbright Commission in Canada works closely with grantees to place them at appropriate institutions. So each award lists two or three university or college campuses where that particular discipline, that is the focus of the award, where the grantee would be placed. So unless you have an affiliation in Francophone Canada, there is also no language requirement for those awards. The rest of Latin America, so any of the Spanish-speaking countries, typically do have either a recommended or required language proficiency. So that will be noted in the award description, but unfortunately, you're not able to filter the catalog based on language requirement. So Mexico hasn't changed much of their offerings, but I did want to point out the variety of awards that Mexico offers. So they have their own TEFL award. They also have an award for U.S. studies. So they're looking for academics in the field of American studies or anything related to the U.S. to teach at it's a placed award to teach at one of four universities listed in the award description. They also have a postdoc award for those of you that are completing your PhD or recently completed the PhD. And then a unique offering, it's unique compared to all of the other awards in the catalog, is the Border Scholars Award. That is not a residential award. That is for particular academics who are living close to the Mexican border, U.S.-Mexican border, and would travel back and forth. So it's more of a travel grant. So you would stay 8 days minimum per month in Mexico, conducting your research and collaborating with Mexican colleagues. Moving on to Uruguay, we have an agriculture award. This is a great opportunity for scholars in the field of agriculture to collaborate directly with the Agricultural Institute in Uruguay. And then the Carlos Rico Award is for trilateral research related to the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. And that award allows the scholar to be placed for equal amounts of time in Mexico and Canada. Again, the regional travel program is also offered for the Western Hemisphere. So let's say if you're located on your grant in Canada and you wanted to attend a conference in Chile or in Mexico, you could apply for funding to travel. All right, let's move on.
Thank you, Michelle. The Fulbright Public Policy Fellowship Program offers opportunities for early and mid-career professionals and practitioners in a public policy-related field to serve in placements in a foreign government ministry or institution. Country options are Burma, Cote d'Ivoire, Peru, or Ukraine. And fellows will work with ministry officials as technical specialists under the supervision of host government officials. Something new this year, the project statement is no longer required. Instead, applicants are going to complete a short series of essay questions in the application.
Great, thank you, Kim. So we wanted to highlight also some other opportunities offered to U.S. institutions of higher education. For example, we do offer the International Education Administrator Awards, like Michelle mentioned earlier, and this year the offerings are in France, Germany, Russia, and Korea. So they are usually opportunities for administrators who work on developing these partnerships with between U.S. institutions of higher education and some of these countries mentioned here, mostly in Europe, but also in one in Korea. So, like, for example, they vary their deadlines, application deadlines vary, they're different for each country, and then the time that is spent usually is 2 weeks, except for in France, this is a 10-day opportunity. So these are shorter opportunities offered to administrators, more like seminars, we call them. And then the other opportunity is scholar in residence. Here's a great opportunity if you do not host so many foreign Fulbrighters or visiting Fulbrighters in your campus. It's a great opportunity to build lasting Fulbright engagement with your institution, and it is open to all institutions of higher education in the U.S. The other great opportunity for U.S. institutions is the Outreach Lecturing Fund. So you can invite and you can host a visiting scholar who is currently in the U.S., and you can host them for up to a week to speak with your campus community. So it's a great way of also engaging with a Fulbright program. So, and lastly, the Fulbright Language Teaching Assistant, the FLTA program, offers a great opportunity to expand the culture and the language of coming from a particular foreign country within your institution. So they do offer supplement foreign language instruction in your campus.
Great. Thank you, Aphrodita. I'd like to share about the Fulbright Alumni Ambassador Program. We have a cohort of alumni ambassadors that serve as official representatives of the Fulbright program. They can also give presentations about their experience. So if you would like to hear more about them and hear about their experience, we will be hosting a series of webinars in the competition, and their information is also featured on our website, as well as their contact. So if you'd like to be in touch with our alumni ambassadors, that is an additional set of voices. You don't always just have to hear from us. You can hear from people who were there, who did it, and were successful with their projects. So we're happy to share that, and they can also speak to your campus if there's an interest in that. All right, I'm going to turn it over to Kim, and she can kind of take us through the website and the catalog.
Perfect. Thank you, Michelle. If you can bear with me, I'm going to share my screen so that we can do a walkthrough. Okay, so everyone should be able to see my screen now. I'm starting out with our homepage of CIES.org. I'm going to scroll down, and for the purpose of this walkthrough, I'm only focusing on the U.S. Scholar section, but I would like to point out the additional areas to the right, which include opportunities for non-U.S. scholars, and U.S. Institution section, which features institutional opportunities. So I'm going to click on Fulbright U.S. Scholar Programs, scroll down. Starting with the Overview tab, scholars are able to determine how to select the best award. On this page, we categorize our awards by Fulbright Scholar Awards, which comprise of the bulk of our awards offered, and they include opportunities for professionals, artists, and scholars of all career levels. Next, we feature our Distinguished Scholar Awards, which are the most prestigious appointments in the Fulbright Scholar Program. I scroll down a little. We feature our postdoctoral awards for scholars. And finally, our Fulbright International Administrator Awards. And as Michelle stated, this is open to international education professionals and senior higher education officials. Additionally, applicants can learn more about the grant activities listed here. As you can see, we feature teaching, research, the combination of teaching and research, and the professional project. So I'm just going to scroll back up. And next, you'll see the eligibility tab. Let's click on that. And on this tab, applicants may scroll down to read about the different categories surrounding eligibility, so citizenship, residency abroad, degree and or experience, prior Fulbright, scholar awards, and Department of State employees and their immediate families. So I'm going to scroll back up to application. So the application tab features review eligibility, find an award, download and review resources, and begin application. But if you scroll down just a little bit more, you'll see all of the different application components. As you can see, the project statement, CV, letters of recommendation, etc. So I'm just going to scroll back up and move over to the review criteria tab. And this will give you an overview of the selection criteria. So applicant training, background and experience, quality of your project. So I do encourage you to take a look at all of the tabs and just scroll down and you can see all of the information. The next tab is going to be the timeline. It's going to provide a detailed overview of the competition. As you can see, the deadline is Wednesday, September 15th at 11:59 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And finally, I'm going to go over to the FAQ section, which does a great job with categorizing different questions. You have your general questions, your review and selection questions, the specific grant activity questions, and our IEA questions. But what I'm going to do now is toggle back over to the application tab, and I'd like to click on Find an Award. Okay, so here is our awards catalog, and as you can see, you can search by region, country, or discipline. So for the purpose of this walkthrough, I'm just going to leave it as is and select Search Awards. So when you don't select the different categories, you'll be routed to our full catalog. As you can see, there are 408 awards found. If you look to the left side of the page, you can filter a number of criteria. So you can search by region, country, if it's a multi-country, discipline, award type, the grant activity, grant length, degree requirement, letter of invitation, whether or not it's required, and the career profile. So for the purpose of this walkthrough, I'm going to select country. So I'd like to search for Ireland. So I can simply type Ireland and select search. So every award for Ireland will appear. I want to look at the All Disciplines Award. And so this time we're just going to look at the different components of an award. So as you can see, the award number, the type of award it is an All Disciplines Award for Ireland. Now the contents of each award is going to be different, but it is standard to have the four tabs. So you have your award details, award requirements, stipend and benefits, and country and area overview. So the first section I'd like to point your attention to is award activity. So for this particular one, the activity is going to be, well, you have two choices. You have either teaching or the combination of teaching and research. I'd like to also point out that there are some additional activities that a grantee should anticipate. For example, advising and mentoring students, assisting in faculty curriculum development, program development. So if there are any additional activities, they're usually located somewhere in the award activity section. So I'd like to scroll down, take a look at my award length, and in this case, it's between 3 to 10 months. I sometimes get a question, what if I'm only available for maybe 2 months? Am I still eligible to apply? And the answer would be no. Unfortunately, you are only eligible to apply if you're available for the parameters that are listed. I'm going to scroll down to award dates. As you can see, for one semester grants, they may begin September of 2022 or January of 2023. So if there is an option, it will be listed here in award dates. I'm going to scroll down to locations. So this section varies greatly award by award, but in this particular case, for location, it states that applicants should arrange affiliation with an Irish institution. You may run across an award that says any appropriate institution, or there may be specific institutions that are listed. So I encourage you to take a look at each of the different areas to determine an appropriate location. A flex option is not selected. Flex option is attached to a couple of our awards where you have the option of completing your grant over 2 consecutive years, and if that option is available, it will indicate yes under flex option. Discipline type, for this particular award, all disciplines are sought, so it doesn't matter your discipline. It's open to all disciplines. So I'm going to scroll up and just take your attention to the right-hand side. So again, you can see the application deadline, Wednesday, September 15th. I'm going to scroll down and look at activity types. So for this award, the activity types are teaching and the combination of teaching and research. But if you click on the little question mark, you can see a description of what the actual grant activity entails. So clicked on teaching. For degree requirements, so for this particular award, a PhD or other terminal degree is not required. And for career profile, the same thing, you're able to hover over and click on it to see what our definitions are in terms of the different career profiles. For this particular award, there are approximately 10 available. And then scrolling down, this is another important section, your program staff person. So each award is assigned a program staff person. So this is the person that you'll want to reach out to if you have any questions about the award or, you know, something just isn't clear. You can start by emailing us here. And join an office hour. So this is something that we will be conducting starting next month. I believe Michelle mentioned it. So once a week until the end of the competition, we will be holding regional office hours for 1 hour each week. And it's a time for applicants to ask general questions about any of the application components or the competition itself. So you'll just select join an office hour. We don't have any available office hours right now published, so you wouldn't be able to join, but stay tuned. We will have some office hours, dates and times published soon. So I'm going to quickly go to our next tab of award requirements. So we spoke a little bit in the beginning about letters of invitation. So in this case, this is the tab that will indicate whether or not a letter of invitation is required, preferred, or optional. In this case, it is preferred, so it would be at your discretion if you would like to supply a letter of invitation. If there are any special instructions for letters of invitations or there's a specific person that you should reach out to within an institution, it will be listed in this section here, invitation requirement, additional information. But again, this varies by award. There isn't a language proficiency. And in this case, the additional comments, so let's say you had questions about Ireland or the potential host institutions, you could reach out to Sonia McGinnis, who's with the Irish Commission, and her email address is there as well as her telephone number and helpful links to their webpage. So I'm going to scroll back up to stipend and benefits. So the stipend section is going to give you a general range of what to expect in terms of benefits. And if I scroll down, if there are any special additional special benefits, maybe some sort of dependent benefit, it will be listed here as well. And finally, in the country and area overview, this area ranges in terms of information that's published here. It could be general information about the country, about the education system. Also, what you may find typically is the academic calendar for most institutions within the country. So this is how to read an award. So I'm going to scroll up and click on my Fulbright icon. And then I'm going to click on Fulbright Scholar Program, which will take me back to our homepage. So I did want to point out two more things really quickly. I'd like to take you quickly to our Scholar Directory. which will be back soon. Let's say you have questions about prior grantees. You'd like to reach out, ask questions, see where some of the institutions they've affiliated. This is the place that you'd be able to come to see this information. And finally, I'm going to click on News and Events. So this is where you can read our Fulbright blog post. So I encourage everyone to take a look if you haven't already done so. There are a ton of interesting reads here. And finally, join my Fulbright. So we discussed joining an office hour. You can do it directly in the award. Every award is equipped with the tab to join an office hour, or you can come do it here. If you haven't already done so, I do encourage you to please register your interest. It only takes a few minutes, but you'll receive notifications about different webinars and other resources that we have available. And at this time, we're going to toggle back to our presentation.
Great. Thank you, Kim. That was great. I think people now know where to go to get the information they need. The last thing I wanted to share before we take questions is that is the application cycle. So keep in mind, if you're interested in applying for a Fulbright Award, you essentially apply the year before you'd like that award to take place. So we opened the competition in February with a new catalog. The deadline is September 15, and then from September to about January onwards, September to January is when we do the review, and then from January until April, that's when notifications are sent out in terms of the final decision. So there is a first round of reviews, the U.S. peer review in October and November, and the second round of reviews for those that are recommended for final review, that takes place in that particular country of application. So that is the application cycle. It's also listed on our website. And then the last thing is just, you know, follow us on social media. If you have any questions, you can reach out to us at scholars@iie.org. I do want to underscore, I know some people had some difficulty joining the webinar. This has been recorded and will be posted in the same section where you found the webinar link. So in our archive, the webinar schedule and the archive are in the same location. Please visit our website to learn more. It's brand new, updated with new information this year. And with that, I think we can turn it over to the Q&A. So some of the questions I think we were able to get to in the chat, but I'd like to address the first question that I saw in case it wasn't answered. And feel free, Aphrodita or Kim, to point out any other questions we have. One question was, is a U.S. affiliation required? Do I need to be affiliated with a U.S. institution to be eligible to apply? And the answer is no. Some awards may state that they would like to have applicants who have a full-time U.S. affiliation, but the vast majority do not require that. We encourage independent scholars, independent professionals to apply to the program, so you don't need to have an appointment in the U.S. to be able to participate with Fulbright. Let's see what else we got. Someone was asking if there's an award to Jamaica. Yes, you can check the awards catalog to see the different award offerings. And the other question that we received several times is, can I apply to more than one country or more than one award? So we do have several awards that are multi-country in nature. So as I mentioned, for example, the Carlos Rico Award allows for research in Canada and Mexico, but that's one award. So you can only apply for one award per competition, but that particular award might be multi-country in nature. We have a regional research award for Sub-Saharan Africa. We have the regional research award in the Middle East North Africa region, as well as the South and Central Asia region, and several multi-country grants in Europe. So that's one way to approach it. Let's see what else we have.
I just wanted to point out, Michelle, mm-hmm. I noticed that many of the attendees joined us later. Mm-hmm. They had some difficulties with the password, so I know you mentioned this, but just so that you know, we are going to archive the recording and the PowerPoint on our website. So just wanted to address that.
Great, thank you. Yes, so the slides and the recording will be available. We have a question about the length of an award. So Kimberly showed us an award to Ireland that was 3 to 10 months in length. So how is the exact length of the award determined? Well, that is up to the applicant. So depending on the project that you're proposing, do you need 3 months to conduct the research? Do you plan to teach for the semester? So unless it's otherwise stated in the award description, the host affiliation and the grant length are determined by the applicant and the needs of the project. Let's see. We have...
Michelle, if I may just answer one quick question.
Sure, please.
So there have been some questions about eligible countries. So if you are on the awards catalog, so I believe it's awards.cies.org, all available eligible countries will show up. So if the country does not appear, that means that it's not a participating country.
Great. Thank you for that clarification. Yes. All right. So we have a question about the invitation, invitation letter from the host and how that works. So again, depending on the requirement, the contact may be listed of the designated person who can provide that letter of invitation. If it's, for example, the award to India, which is open to all disciplines and all higher education institutions that are accredited, then essentially you could determine who that would be. So ideally, the letter of invitation would come from the person that you hope to collaborate with, or if you're teaching, then it would come from that department. All right. Any other questions that we have come in, Aphrodita and Kim, that you wanted to address? We just have 1 minute left.
Yes, go ahead, Kim.
Just a really quick question, answering questions about deadlines. So there is one deadline, and the one deadline is going to be September 15th of this year. So there is only one deadline.
Right. Unless you're applying for the Administrator Award, so if you're interested in establishing partnerships for your department or for your university or college, the International Education Administrator Awards have rolling deadlines, so be sure to check those award descriptions. But for teaching, research, and professional projects, that is one deadline of September 15. The last question I'm going to take, I know it's already the 3 o'clock hour over here on the East Coast, but the last question we have is, I'm pursuing my PhD, can I apply for the Fulbright Scholar Program? And the answer is, the Fulbright Scholar Program is typically for those that already have a terminal degree or several years of experience. The program does not allow for research that goes towards a doctoral degree. We do have the Fulbright Student Program, however, that accommodates those research needs. So if you are enrolled in a program and you'd like to conduct research for your PhD, please visit the Fulbright Student website. All right. Well, I want to thank everyone for joining us. I apologize for the technical difficulties. We will certainly iron that out. This was our first webinar of the year for the catalog, the new catalog, the first one on Zoom. We have switched over to Zoom, I think, like everyone else around the world. So thank you for bearing with us. This will be archived and posted on our website, and we will notify all of you. So I want to thank my colleagues, Kimberly Williams and Aphrodita Krasniqi, tuning in from all of our different locations across the U.S., and I thank all of you for joining us this afternoon. We look forward to assisting you with your Fulbright application. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.